Jesus, you're everything I'm ever gonna need. You're the beginning, you're the end. You're my life's dearest friend. To me, you've become my everything. I know some have made Jesus just a game that they play. To some, he's a song that they sing. But since I met Jesus, I'm happy to say, to me, he's become my everything. I said to me, he's become everything. Hallelujah. He's everything that I need. He's the beginning, the end. He's life's dearest friend. To me, he's become everything. This is what he does. When I wake up each morning, he's right by my side. At night, he's my last thought in mind. Lord, you're my joy for each moment. He's hope that faith brings. To me, he's become my everything. I said to me, he's become everything. Hallelujah. Oh, he's everything I'll ever need. He's the beginning, he's the end. He's life's dearest friend. To me, he's become everything. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm glad he's everything to me. I'm glad I don't have trouble with that. Amen. I'm glad I want him to be everything to me. Amen. I want that hole in my ear she was preaching about last night. Shot. I prayed this afternoon. I said, Lord, brand me in this service. She got to preaching last night and she said, you'll fall in love with him so much it'll make you want to put your ear up on the doorpost and they put it on. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed it and I'm so glad for what God's done. And I want to be obedient to the Lord tonight and see God help us. I thought, by the way, we've had a move of God around here. We'd have to pull out chairs and knock out the back wall and just... Amen. Go ahead and, you know, but I believe that God is moving and I believe that God is helping us and I want to be obedient to Him in this service tonight. And I thank you for everything that you've done for us. You've just spoiled us since we've been here and we're so thankful for what you've done and don't feel worthy for all that you've done for us, but we want to be try our best to obey the Lord. That's all we can do to help repay. What you've done is just obey the Lord, and that's what we're trying to do. And we want God to help us here tonight. Amen. I'm praying for a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. That's right. We need a breakthrough. I'm telling you, would be no greater. I appreciate the offering and appreciate all you've done and the food and different things. But you know, it would be more rewarding to me. It would be more rewarding to me to be able to preach to lost people in these services. We got out there yesterday and some of these young boys that were in this after school program, I found out I wasn't supposed to be, but I got out there playing football with them and not supposed to be for any reason, but I'm not supposed to be. But I got out there and, you know, just felt the burden for them and for this community. And so we want to see God do something here in the midst. Amen. Listen, we're just getting started in this thing. Amen. Ain't no telling what God will do in the remainder of this meeting. Amen. I want to read to you tonight out of the book of Acts, chapter number 28. The book of Acts, chapter number 28. Amen. Acts chapter number 28, last week in revival over in Alabama, it seemed like I preached out of the Old Testament every night. And this week it seems like I've just preached almost out of the New Testament every night. Amen. So I just noticed in that, but I really felt this on my heart yesterday as we were praying and we want to be prepared for this service just as much as we could. And just praying, I felt the Lord dealing with me about this. And then on in today, I felt God continue to deal with us. So we want to preach and do what we feel like God's laid on our heart to do. In the book of Acts, chapter number 28, I want to begin to read in verse number 1. Acts 28 and 1, the Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarians people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Amen. I want to preach tonight from these scriptures, if the Lord will help us. I want to preach on a blind date with Melita. Amen. A blind date. Anybody ever been on a blind date? I didn't think you'd be honest tonight. Bunch of phonies. Amen. How many of you ever been on a blind date tonight? Amen. A blind date with Melita. Sounds pretty bad, don't it? Amen. I want to preach tonight on a blind date with Melita. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're able, God, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think in this service. We're so thankful for the moving of the Spirit, the power of God that we've been able to feel in these services. God, we're needing you to help us and to touch us and to lead us, God, in this service. God, we're needing your anointing, God, to move in a very special way. God, we're asking you, Lord, tonight, don't let us say one thing that you're not saying. Don't let us do one thing that you're not doing in this service. God, I'm asking you to have your way in the midst of us. God, we're going to praise you. God, we need a breakthrough. God, in this service right here tonight, how we need you to break in. Lord, we're tired in our bodies, but Lord, we're needing your touch tonight like never before. And we're asking you to do it here in this service. Have your way, Lord, and we're going to praise you and we're going to thank you for what you do here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it, amen. Brother, will you open that for me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. This story, this scripture here is very familiar to me. It may be very familiar to different Bible readers, but amen, the story of Paul in the book of Acts, a very wonderful story of how God can take anybody, transform their entire life, and use them for the glory of God. It's amazing how God takes this man of Saul, named Saul, and completely transforms him and makes him one of the greatest preachers to ever live. And we know that Paul begins a very great ministry, and as he begins to preach and as he begins to demonstrate Jesus Christ, we know that this man of God begins to experience very many difficulties along his way. As he began to preach, he began to suffer very many things. Amen. And the Lord even warned him of that even as he persecuted others, that Paul began to speak and say that, amen, he'd done a lot of suffering for that. But here he begins to preach, and as he preaches and goes through his ministry, he's thrown in jail, he's stoned, he suffers shipwreck, he suffers many things, but God's already stood by his side. God's already said, "I'll be with you, I'll walk with you and talk with you." That is a comfort. Amen. I like that. I like that. Amen. God is with us. I believe, amen, that the 23rd Psalm is a very comforting song to a lot of us. You know, the things that we go through has a way of ministering to us. Amen. God will teach us things through the things that we go through. David began to talk about in the 23rd Psalm. He began to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture." On and on. He says what God does. He does this and he does that and he does this. But then he gets on down there. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But then He says, amen, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And watch what happens. David has talked about God, has talked about what God can do, how God has helped him, but all of a sudden, somewhere in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death, he turned from saying, He has done this and He has done that. He turns around and says, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Somewhere in the middle of his trial, he quit talking about God and started talking to God. Hallelujah. Well, I thought you'd shout a little bit more about that. Because you see, something about our trials has a way of bringing us close to God. Well, Paul begins to do many things, but hey, amen, we find here, how God, as you begin to read over in the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find that, hey, amen, Paul is in prison in Jerusalem. And in that prison, while he is in that prison cell, the Bible said that the Lord comes and stands by him in the middle of that prison cell. And there that night while he was in prison, it looked like that all of it was ended. All of it was a dead end road right here in a prison in Jerusalem. The Lord speaks to Paul and the Lord says, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And you got to understand that Jerusalem is somewhere around 1,500 miles away from Rome. Now this is in a day where there are no airplanes. This is a day where there are no automobiles or trains. And so to go 1,500 miles, amen, is a very long journey. To go 1,500 miles was almost impossible. Amen, but God is going to take this man and he says, listen, you know it looks impossible. And Paul doesn't know how he's going to get there. But all the while through everything that he went through, he knew where he was going. And that's very important for a child of God to understand, is to know where you're going. Amen. It's very important that when God begins to show us little snippets, and I like to call them commercials, of what He wants to do in our life and how He wants to move in our life. Amen. Paul from Jerusalem, he's going to go and stand before King Agrippa in Caesarea there. Amen. He's going to appeal to Caesar. And right there in Caesarea, he's going to enter into a ship at Sidon. Amen. And set sail for Rome. Amen. And he's only going to stop once at Lycia. Amen. But God is going to take Paul's imprisonment. Amen. God's going to take Paul's infirmity. God's going to take, my God, what he's going through now. And he's going to make it a vehicle to get him where he's going to God. Amen. God said, hey, Paul, you're not going to die where you are. You're going somewhere. Amen. And I'm going to let the devil pay the fare for you to get there. Amen. Oh, it may be in chains. I may be in imprisonment. It may look bad now. You're looking at me. And my God, it looks like I'm struggling and it looks like I'm going under, but I ain't going under. I know where I'm going. Amen. It may look like I'm bound right now, but I'm not bound. I know where I'm going. You can bow my flesh. My God, you can weary my nerves. My God, but somewhere in the back of my mind there's a promise that God gave me. My God, and I will not die where I am, because I know where I'm going. I believe tonight if we needed God to revive something in this house tonight, we need some people to be reminded that God's taking you somewhere. Amen. This ain't the dead end. I got God's taking you somewhere. That's right. Amen. Amen. Somewhere on his way. Amen. Paul is on his way to do the will of God. He's on his journey to fulfill God's perfect will in his life. He's on his journey to go to Rome and testify of him. He's on his way. He set sail. He's on that ship. He's on his way. Yes, he may be in chains, but he's in the will of God. Hallelujah. He may be suffering bad trouble.
troubles, and he's in the will of God. Amen. But somewhere on his way to do God's will for his life, amen, there comes a storm, amen, in his way. I ain't got time to go through the scripture, amen, but somewhere on his way to do what God said he was going to do, amen, there's a storm begins to rise. On his way, amen, he warns, I got those men. He says, listen, it's not good for us to sail right now. God warned me. Amen. But they didn't listen, and they continued to sail because there was a warm, amen, southern wind blowing. Amen. But while they were going, and it looked like everything was okay outside of what God was saying, the Bible said a southeasterly wind began to blow. I got in a storm, began to brew. And right in the middle, I got of going to where God was taking him, a storm rises up. I know you ain't never been there. And the way you're looking at me tonight, amen, you may never be there. Amen. But, amen, if you're on your way to do God's will, you're going to face some storms along the way. Amen. The storms of this life are inevitable. Amen. You either just come through a storm, you're in a storm, or your storm's on the way. Amen. Oh yes, you can understand. And if you're going to do what God said do, you're going to have some difficulties along the way. God never said it'd be easy. God never said it was going to be smooth. I got, but He did promise that He'd go with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh yes. I got, He never promised that the mountain would be smooth, because if the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it anyway. Hallelujah. You couldn't climb it anyway if that mountain was smooth. Amen. But a storm begins to rise. Amen. And these storms are very inevitable. My God, but this wasn't just any storm. Amen. This storm has a name. Hallelujah. It's not just some storm that rises up. We've got those little storm clouds rise up. You know, you walk around on Monday with one of them little rain clouds over your head. My God, but no. We're not talking about a little April shower, no. Amen. We're talking about a storm that we know what it is when it's coming. When it starts forming, those men looked at one another and said, that's your Rockledon right there. And some of you, my God, when that storm gets to brewing, amen, it ain't just any storm. It's that same storm you've been fighting all these years. It's got a name. It ain't a stranger to your Christian life. It ain't a strange stranger in your walk. It's that same old struggle. It's that same old battle. My God, when it starts to form, you can say, there comes that fear again. When it starts to form, you can say, there comes that discouragement again. When it starts to form, you know what it is. Hallelujah. Amen. It ain't just in his storm. They knew what it was that was coming at them. Amen. We cannot sit around ignorant, especially if you've served God any time. You cannot sit around and act like that you don't know what you're fighting. We sit around sometimes and we face the same battle. We come to Brother Joe with the same lip poked out as we did 2 months ago. Amen. Fighting the same thing. And he has to give you the same advice. Amen. Same thing. And we can't help it. I guess we're just repetitive in our nature. I guess as natural as we are. Amen. We just go round and round in the same old, same old. My God, but you know, I like what Brother Joe said the other day, and I'm going to preach it. Amen. I ain't going to tell him where, but I'm going to preach it. Amen. I'm going to preach on a new normal. Hallelujah. I think we need a new normal. I think we need to break out of the usual routine. I think we need to look at your Rockledon and say, hey, you've rained on my head long enough. Amen. You've rained on my parade too many times. Amen. You've rained me out of the pleasures of life too many times. You rocked my boat long enough. I got you walked on me long enough. Now I'm going to walk on my God tonight. tonight. I'm telling you, I got your rock of God ain't got an advantage over me. I got because I know where I'm going. I said, I know where I'm going. I can't die in this boat because I know where I'm going. I can't die in this storm because I know where I'm going. I can't die. My God, he ended it right here. I got because God said I'm going somewhere. Hey, I can't die here. I know where I'm going. And if God said I'm going somewhere, I'm going to make it. I tried. As long as I stay in His will and I don't live foolishly, I'm going to live and make it to do everything that God said that I was going to do. Hey, man, storms may rise along the way. I got, but I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I got, because I know that just on the other side is a table prepared for me in the very presence of my enemies. I wish I had some folks that knew where they were going. I said, I wish I had some God tonight. I wish I had some folks. I said, I'm going somewhere. Hallelujah. My God. And so the rain's beating down, but Paul knows he's going somewhere. And the lightning's flashing around him. But Paul, I like this about Paul. And you can find it from Paul's writings. And you can figure it out from the way Paul talks. He was so blinded. And I don't want you to fall out with what I'm about to use as terminology. But he was so blinded by his destiny that he couldn't even see where he was. He was so blinded where God was going to take him. Amen. That was more important than where he was at the time. Hallelujah. I'd like to be so blinded knowing that I'm going somewhere in God, that these little trials I face now ain't going to discourage me. That's right. I'd like to be able to look the devil in the eye and say, yeah, you're throwing stuff at me now. I God, but hey, God done said I'm going to step on top of your head in just a little while. That's right. I God, I'm telling you, amen, like Sister Stanley said the other night, I God, devil, you're going to burn. That means, hey, what I'm going through now, you better get me while you can. My God, you better get me while it's dark. You better get me while I'm discouraged. Because you're going to burn. I got it. I know where I'm going. I said, I know where I'm going. I'm going somewhere in God. Hallelujah. I got it on His way to do God's will. A storm arises up. And the devil thinks he's going to rock Paul. Hallelujah. Amen. He thinks that he's going to shake Paul. God, and it got so bad. In Acts 27, 40, I'm skipping a lot of scripture. I couldn't preach it all the night. Amen. It'd be like Paul preaching and you'd be Eutychus and fall out the window. Hallelujah. Amen. If I preach it all. Amen. But in Acts 27, it says it got so bad that they fell into a place where two seas met. And they ran the ship aground. And the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Now you got to understand, this is the very vehicle that is getting Paul to his destination in God. This is the very thing that's carrying him. That's right. The very thing that's taking him from point A to point B in the will of God is starting to crumble under his feet. I've leaned on people that I thought were godsends to get me from point A to point B in God. And then one day I went to call them on the telephone and they wouldn't answer the phone. Woo! I know ain't none of y'all ever had that. Amen. But I've been there when it seemed like the very thing that was getting me to where God was taking me started crumbling down around me. I got it. I didn't know what to do. You know what I do? I try to figure it out in myself. I try to work it out. I try to say, okay, God, what now? And there we are. Amen. Everything, my God, it was supposed to be a simple thing. I go from here. I go to Rome and I testify. It was supposed to be a simple thing. thing. I got, but how many know you can't do God's will that easy? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh no. Amen. Here, I got the very thing, the very vehicle. I hope I'm making sense. The very vehicle that was to get him into God's will started falling apart under his feet. The very thing that was supposed to get him there is now no more. The very thing that we lean on to get us somewhere is no more. I had a sister that was very discouraged when I closed down my church because she felt like that my church was the only church that she could make it in. And I understand. So when our church closed, the very thing that she was leaning on fell apart and she had to get back in the will of God. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Amen. And so here he is. Amen. The very thing that he's riding on, I got to get him there, falls apart. They were shipwrecked and they escaped to an island called Melita. Now, Paul wasn't looking for Melita. He was looking for Italy. That's right. He wasn't looking for a little island out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. He was looking for a little peninsula on the edge of Europe. Amen. He wasn't looking, I got, for a place full of monkeys. He was looking for a place full of statues and Caesars. Amen. That's what he was looking for. But all of a sudden, God said, hey, before you go there, I've got a date you need to go on. I got, before you get to where you're going. And all of a sudden, I got, the very thing he's riding on, I got, leads him to a blind date with a little island called Melita. Now, Melita means honey. I said, Melita means honey. Amen. But I can tell you, amen, that when Paul looked over there, it didn't look like anything sweet at all. I can tell you that when I thought it was going to be easy to perform what God, amen, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Amen. When I thought it was going to be easy, I got, when it looked like I could just go, I got, all of a sudden things went contrary to my plans. Amen. Now, amen, it was supposed to be from Jerusalem to Rome, but now he's in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. 450 miles from Rome, in the middle of the ocean, right in the middle of his journey to do what God said do, he's hit with a blind date with a little island called Melita. He didn't see it coming. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? He didn't see it coming. He didn't know why. He didn't comprehend all of what God... I'm telling you, I told you the other night, if you knew everything God was going to do before He'd done it, you'd lose your mind. Amen. You wouldn't make it. Amen. He didn't see it coming. So what does Paul do? Amen. Paul warns the men. Of course, they didn't heed. Amen. They begin to escape on some pieces of board and some pieces of the ship. Amen. They finally, those that could swim, made it to the shore. Those that couldn't, they floated on pieces of wood. Amen. But they finally... I can see Paul finally crawling up on the sand of that little island called Melita. Can't you see it with me as he's crawling up on that beach and laying there in the sand, and Paul just lays there on his back and just dies right there because God doesn't love him anymore and God doesn't care about him anymore and God didn't do what he said he'd do. And amen, God ain't promised. That promise was a lie. Amen. He just laid down and died. Is that right? Hallelujah. Amen. No, he didn't just lay there and die. He knew that where he was going was more important than where he was at. I said where he was going was more important than where he was at right now. It wasn't a dead end. It's just a pit stop on the journey. It would have been easy for Paul just to give it up right then and die. It would have been easy for Paul, amen, just to surrender right there. I got, I'm telling you, he's at the end of his life. He's at close to the end of his ministry. It would have been easy just to give up and die. Amen. But Paul said, hey, I'm looking around here and this ain't Rome. And so God said, I'm going to Rome. That means it's impossible for me to die where I am. I just wish before this service is over that somebody leave here saying, hey, where I'm going is more important than where I am right now. I said, where I'm going is more important than where I am right there tonight. I wish you'd lift your hands and say, where I'm going is more important. Paul could have gave up the ghost a long time ago. In Philippians chapter 1, he begins to express to the Philippian church, amen, he begins to write, he said, I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But then he goes on to say, nevertheless, to be able in the flesh, amen, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know what kept Paul alive? He felt needed. I said he felt needed. So he kept him alive. He felt like somebody needed him. So he kept him alive. You know what keep a lot of people alive? In the house of God. If they felt needed. That's right. Amen. So he laid there on the sand of that Melita. Amen. Not understanding. I don't believe he understood everything that was going on with him. But I know he knew one thing. Amen. That where I'm going. Oh, if we could just get like Paul was. My God, that we were so consumed with that where God was taking us. That the little things that we battle every day didn't mean nothing at all. My God, they said, Brother L.L. Collins, he said, some of these things that'll rock your boat, he doesn't even realize are going on. Hallelujah. Amen. You know why? Because when you get zeroed in on where God's taking you, amen, then those things that try to hinder you now are nothing at all. You realize this is the work of the enemy. This is the enemy. I got trying to stop me on my process of getting where I need to be. You say, Brother Scott, I just don't feel like God's calling me to the ministry. I'm going to ask a question. Why does it seem like that everybody that wants to be used by God has to preach? Woo! Hey, somebody said, well, I feel like God's calling me. When am I going to preach? Hey, amen. What about helps? What about, amen, visiting the sick? What about, I got the gifts of the Spirit? What about teaching Sunday school? I know, what about visiting the widows and the fatherless in their affliction? I got, you ain't got to preach to be used by God. I got, listen, I'd rather be used by God and never preach another message in my life. I got, you know why? I got, because I know that there's such a vast ministry that God would have His people to do. I got, but we feel like I got that where we're at is keeping us from where we're going. And I want to tell you, where you're at has nothing to do about where you're going. Where you're going is more important than where you're at. We've all had our blind dates with Melita. We've had those situations that come and they seem like they're bigger than God. Anybody ever had a situation like that? It rises up and it seems like it's bigger than God. That's right. Amen. No Melita has ever been bigger than God. You can take a penny, the smallest of our currency. You can take a penny and put it to your eye and it'll block out the whole light of the sun. Does that mean that penny is bigger than the sun? No. You could take a circumstance and slap it in your face. And the devil say, what you gonna do now? Cause it looks like that thing is bigger than God. But there ain't never been a situation that was bigger than God. There ain't never been a problem that was bigger than God. There ain't never been a trial that was bigger than God. I got, ain't it just simple? I'd like to cry it out now, God's bigger. God's bigger. God's bigger than my financial trouble. God's bigger than my social trouble. God's bigger than my family trouble. Amen. God's bigger than these things that's coming against me. God's bigger than any Melita that wants to rise up against me. God's bigger than any enemy. My God. He said, hey, the enemy will come in like a flood. He said, the enemy will come in like a flood. It's everywhere. It's high as ever. My God, but the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. My God, that's because ain't no flood bigger than God. Ain't no enemy bigger than God. Ain't no devil bigger than your God. Ain't no addiction bigger than your God. I got ain't no trouble in your life bigger than your God. I want to tell somebody that needs deliverance tonight, where you're going is more important than where you're at. He may be 450 miles swimming distance from where God said he was going. That's not going to hinder me. No. That's not going to keep Paul down. He knew where he was going. He knew where he was going. And he knew he wasn't going to die there. I read over there when Peter is cast in prison, they're going to chop his head off the next day. Where do you find Peter? He's asleep. He's got 16 men, big old stinky men, all the way around him. He's asleep. Why? Well, Jesus gave him a promise. Well, it didn't seem like a promise. It seemed like a rebuke. But Jesus said, Peter, hey man, you're leading people now, but when you're old, you're going to stretch your hand out. Somebody else is going to lead you. Peter ain't old yet. Peter ain't stretching his hand out, other people's leading him. So he's kicked back in the prison saying, hey, God said I was getting old. Hallelujah. I was getting so old my eyes get dim. Somebody else had to lead me around. And so this ain't the end. Hallelujah. It's just a pit stop on the journey. I got, what if we could get that mentality? I may be sitting in a prison cell and chained to two big old quartets of soldiers. It may seem like that this is the end of the road. The devil might have told me I'm chopping your head off in the morning. And I think I'll lay me down to sleep and rest. Amen. Because I know that the God that told me that, I got, is not a man that he should lie. I believe that if he said it, he meant what he said. And so that tells me I'm going somewhere. And where I'm going, I've got tonight. Where I'm going is more important than where I'm at. He's so comforted by his destiny that he can sleep in his present circumstance. He is so comforted by the promise of God and where he's going that he could be at such an ease in a prison cell. Not me, not us, not me. Wake up, soldier. Walk with me. Let me chew on that chain a little bit. Come here. Hallelujah. How am I going to get out of this? God, where you at? Why, Lord, why don't you love me? I don't understand this. Lord, I don't understand what I do. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Did I sin? Huh? No, no, no. That ain't what Peter's doing. Peter's sleeping. They have to wake him up to take him to the job lot. We know he don't make it that far. We know God delivers him out of that. Amen. But where he was going. Amen. You see, amen, Peter had an appointment with God. That's right. Amen. Paul had an appointment with God. That's right. They had an appointment. And when God makes an appointment, it may seem like it's too late. But God will call your name. And your name is in the book. The problem is, I want you to hear me right here. The problem is, you got an appointment with God, but you can't die in the waiting room. You can't die in the waiting room. Amen. The Bible said, the vision will surely come and shall not tarry. Amen. Though it tarry, the vision shall surely come. Though it tarry, wait for it shall surely come and not tarry. That don't make any sense, does it? No, it don't make any sense. You look at it and say, the vision shall surely come, it shall not tarry. Wait for it. Amen. Though it tarry, wait for it. Wait a minute. He's got two tarries there. The first tarry in that scripture is different from the second tarry in that scripture. I think I preached about this one time I was here. That first tarry, amen, talks about waiting. Amen. Talks about procrastinating. Amen. That second tarry means to be late. And so you know what he's saying in the scripture? He said, though the vision, amen, may procrastinate, wait for it, because it's going to be right on time. Hallelujah. I said it's going to be right on time. I know you're in the waiting room now. You're saying, God, when you're going to move for me? God, when you're going to get me out of this mess? God, when you're going to fix all this for me? And you're ready to give it all up. And you're ready to go back to the drugs and back to the alcohol. I got, but don't die in the waiting room. Your name's probably next on the list. I said, your name's probably next on the list. Hallelujah. Don't die in the waiting room. And God's got your name on the list. I got so much to preach, I don't want to preach too long. Amen. But on this island, He crawls upon this island. And there on this island are barbarous people. Hallelujah. I really wanted to bring this out here. You might want to sit down. I want you to really understand what I'm about to preach here. On this island, amen, they're barbarous people that begin to show them no little kindness. They build a fire and receive them. Listen to this. This is what God gave me. God was using barbarians to minister to them. We become so defensive. This is what God gave me. We become so defensive after we've been through so much. And we've been hurt so many times that we have a hard time being ministered to. We've been hurt, we've been disappointed, we've been upset, we've gone through so much that sometimes it's hard to be ministered to. That's right. Our disappointments has lowered our expectations. Amen. And we've seen it's hard to be ministered to. I've been in services where the preacher preached and it was so ridiculous and I needed help. But it was so ridiculous, the tangent that they got on, that I have a hard time sometimes even zeroing in on certain types of people. Sure. There's been preachers, no doubt there may be even people here, you don't know me. And so you don't know what I may say next. And so you have a hard time receiving what I'm saying because you're not sure if I'm going to hurt you or not. Come on, I feel this in my heart. Amen. Now, I'm not saying Brother Joe's hurt you, but you've been hurt somewhere. And that pastor, that preacher, somebody, that worker done you wrong. And so the next worker that comes along, you're a little more hesitant before you receive their ministry. Huh? And so like these men, amen, God has to send a barbarian. Hallelujah. And minister to you. Listen to me, but you know, there's so many people that say, well, I just can't get ministered to there at Grace Street. I just don't get nothing out of these services. This Brother Joe, he just don't minister to me no more. He just don't know what I need. Listen to me. I don't care if you're John the Revelator on an island all by yourself. He'll step up in the middle of you. Amen. You'll be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And He'll speak and say, let me show you some things. And I ain't gonna show, listen to me. I'm telling you, you have to allow yourself to be ministered to. You have to allow me to minister to you. If you won't let me minister to you, I can spit, snot, storm, amen, sweat, amen, get red in the face all I want to. But if you won't receive it, I can't make you take it. And there's so many people in this world that we can reach out and grab a hold to. And in these services there's so many people. And if you'd let me, I'm not saying this boastfully, but if you'd let me, I'd speak into your life by the anointing. If you'd let me, God will show me things and I'll speak right into your life, but you won't let me. And it's sad Friday night. Some people felt like they already got enough for revival. Because they won't let me minister to them. But I want to tell you, God sent barbarians. When you get where Paul's been, and you're on your way to do God's will. I've been there. My God, I may preach a while. Let's just hold on, okay? You ain't got to stand up. Just listen to me. I feel this so much. I've been there when I was struggling. I needed somebody
And I wasn't going to go tell my preacher's friends, because you know what preacher's friends do sometimes. Amen. So I wasn't going to tell them that I wanted to go to a church that nobody knew who I was. And that's hard sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Sometimes that's hard. And I just want to go to a church. Sometimes I just wanted to sit in the back of a Baptist church, Methodist, somewhere. Amen. Just to hear somebody say something. Amen. But I've been in Walmart. I've been in the mall. I've been in different places. And God will send somebody that don't believe like me. God will send somebody that, amen, don't go to church, to the churches I go to, and they'll say something that'll bring me up right out of where I've been. He'll send a barbarian if he has to. But if you'll let God, he'll minister to you tonight. Me and my wife were struggling when we first got married. We eloped and we thought that we could make it without nobody. We was fighting one night. I know ain't none of y'all ever fought. Look at me like you're sanctimonious, like you ain't never fought. We was fussing and fighting one night. Just got married. Just found out my wife was pregnant. Nobody knew but me and her. There's a black church there in town. They invited us to have church on Friday nights, I think it was. Friday nights. And they didn't start till about 10 o'clock at night. We was fighting. She done threw the phone at me, and I done told her she was stupid. And finally I turned to her and said, "You done lost your victory. We ain't going to church. You done lost your victory." She looked at me and she said, "I ain't lost my victory." We went to the house, slammed some doors, kicked some stuff around, got back in the car and went to church. Because that's how homeless folks do it. Well, we got that church that night. We were the only white folks in the house. I love it. We got there. Didn't nobody know who I was, who her granddaddy was, who she was. We got there. I got. They called us, asked us to sit on the second row. We went up there, sat on the second row, did all we could to get in. We couldn't dance like they danced, but we wanted to try. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we got up there, and that man was a singing, and he stopped. He said, "Hey, you sister, stand up." He said, "The victory's all over you." He didn't know that she was pregnant. Nobody knew that she was pregnant. He turned to me and said, "From your loins shall come dreams and visions." That's that little boy sitting right over there. God sent a barbarian. When I needed help. Am I making sense? I'm not calling black people barbarians. Don't you dare think that one. I'm talking about some stranger. God sent somebody that was strange to me. God didn't know nothing about me. I'm telling you tonight, you may not know me. You may not understand me. You don't know where I live. You don't know where I come from. But I'm telling you tonight, if you need help, God will help you in this service. If you need deliverance, God will deliver you in this service. If you need medicine too, God will minister you in this sermon, but you have to allow yourself to be ministered to. Even if God has to use, I got so much more to preach. Amen. I don't want to take too much time. Amen. They ministered to them because of the present rain and because of the cold. Amen. It wasn't the past rain. It wasn't yesterday's rain. It was what was doing, what was happening right now. Not past rain or future rain, but what was going on right now. Paul's in a strange place. He's wet, he's cold, and he had a group of barbarians looking at him. He's in limbo. He's in limbo in his experience with God. He's just somewhere in between. He's not where he was, but he's not where he's going. He's on Melita. He's got a blind date with Melita. And he's in limbo, and it's raining and it's cold and things are going on. Amen. But you see, Paul knew where he was going. He knew Melita wasn't his soulmate. He knew it wasn't God's will for him and Melita to shack up a while. He wasn't going to build a hut and learn the language and just settle into that place like so many of us have done. When we get in that place that we don't understand and we feel like we come to a pit stop, we treat pit stops like they're dead end roads. Amen. Just because you stop by a circumstance doesn't mean God doesn't want you to go on. That's right. I got, just because you hit a bump in the road doesn't mean you got to stop in the middle of the highway and flag everybody else around you. I got, if it's a bump in the road, I got, my God, you may shake and rattle a little bit, but keep on going. I say keep on going. Too many people are stopping in bumps in the road. This ain't a dead end, friend. God's calling you on. I say God's calling you, my God, tonight. I got, don't settle in. God, this is not where you belong. Where you're going is more important than where you're at. What does he do? He starts bundling sticks. He's doing all he can where he is. Amen. Because he knew it wasn't always going to be like this. Am I making sense? Where he is, he's in this place, but he's not just gonna sit down and wait for God to miraculously snatch him up out of there. He's gonna do what he can where he is. That's where people of God need to get a hold of that. That just because you're in the valley doesn't mean you have to stop working for God. That's because you're in a struggle. Doesn't mean you have to give up your Sunday school class. That's because you're fighting a battle. Doesn't mean you have to come, my God, tonight. My God, you got to learn to work where you are because you understand that it ain't always going to be like this. I can't just sit in the sand and hope somebody pulls me out. It's cold in this place. I said it's cold in this place. And if I'm going to make it, I got to build a fire where I'm at. I gotta stay alive to get where God's taking me. Boy, y'all getting quiet with me. I got to hurry. Amen. While he's building the fire, we know the story very well. That there came a viper out of the heath and fastened on his hand. What happened is Melita reached out and grabbed a hold of him. If you're not careful, that limbo that you're in. Come on, am I talking to anybody tonight? Come on, let me see your hand. Am I talking to anybody? That limbo that you're in will reach out and grab you. And the leader will take you by the hand and say, oh, just stay with me. Just stay here with me. I would that you were cold or hot, but just stay here with me. Just stay here in this limbo. Just stay here in this place. You've done enough. You ain't going nowhere else. I got this serpent reaches out and grabs a hold of Paul. Now this doesn't make any sense, because everywhere else in the Word of God that you read about a snake bite, it's the judgment of God. Have I lost you already? Amen. I said everywhere else in the Word of God, it's the judgment of God. Amen. When they murmured against Moses, the Israelites, the Lord sent fiery serpents in the midst of them and they bit the people. It even went on down to say that that man could flee from the judgment, rest his hand on the wall, and a snake would bite him. My God, but you've got to understand, Paul hadn't done anything wrong. Paul hadn't done anything wrong. Amen. And so why is he being snake? Have you ever been there saying, God, why is this taking place? I haven't done anything wrong. It's not self-righteousness. You're just saying, God, I've done my best to live for you. I've done my best to live right. I've loved my best. I've got to seek you. And why is this happening to me? And I read over in Revelation 12 and 10. He said, that old serpent, the devil, who is the accuser of our brethren. My God, you know what it is when you get in those places of weakness like Melita. Condemnation wants to grab a hold of you and tell you you don't deserve any better than this. Tell you you don't deserve nothing better than this, Melita. God doesn't really want you to have Rome. Amen. You need to stay right here in Melita. And then everybody looks at him. It says, oh, vengeance suffereth this man not to live. He escaped the violence of the sea, but he must be a murderer and God wants to kill him. You know what they're saying? He's getting what he deserves. Huh? You ever seen somebody praying in the altar Amen. One of them will nudge somebody else and say, that's who I called you about the other day that I thought was doing wrong. I know that don't happen at Grace Street. I'm just talking about the church down the road. So we can shout. Hallelujah. Oh, we call and say, hey, I knew something was wrong with her life. That's why she's praying like that, because she's backslid. She needs help. And we make the altar reproach so nobody wants to go to the altar, because if I go down there and cry and pray, you're going to think I'm lost. You're going to think I'm backslid. You're going to think I'm defeated and I'm about ready to die. No, no, no. Sometimes I like that old Southern gospel song. Amen. If you see me crying, it's not because I'm trying to deal with some wrong in my life. Amen. But amen, when these tears break through, tears of joy come through, it ain't what's wrong. It's what's right. Hallelujah. God, I'm going to tell you tonight, God, you may be standing in a place that you don't understand, with an old serpent hanging from your hand. I got it. You don't know why you're going through what you're going through. I got, but I just feel this on my heart to let you know, hey, I got, where you're going, it's more, it may look bad where you're at, I got, but just a few days, it's going to be better. We look at Job, and we say it's the worst suffering we've ever seen a man go through. And it is. Amen. It's horrible. But did you know the book of Job spans the time frame of about a month? That wasn't all of Job's life. That was a month of his life. Boy, you're looking at me now. That wasn't 6 months of his life. That was 4 weeks. It was horrible. Lost all of his children, all of his cattle, all of his camels, all of his cats, all of his cows, all of that. Cockatoos, all of them. All in a month. We look at that and say, man, what suffering. But Job didn't curse God. He said, naked I came in this world, naked I leave. But if I do leave, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Hey man, it's like that old street preacher standing on that street corner. I used to love that song because we started our ministry street preaching, and I felt that so many times. Hey man, that preacher, I got to preach on the street corner. That man pulled that gun on his face and says, if you don't quit preaching, I'm going to shoot you. He said, go ahead and make my day. Hallelujah. Hey man, because I know where I'm going. I said, devil, make my day. I know where I'm going. I got, you may fight me now. I got the victories just around the corner. Devil, you don't even realize that God's setting you up for me to put my foot on your head. You don't realize, devil, you're being set up for another defeat. Yeah. Everybody sat back and said he's getting what he deserved. But what did he do? He didn't give in to a lying spirit. I said he didn't give in to a lying spirit. He said, you're going to die here. No. He shook it off. Because Melita's not my soulmate. Am I making any sense tonight? I know I'm preaching a long time. But Melita is not my soul. Amen. Melita is not where I belong. Amen. And listen. Amen. It's not the one. Amen. It's just a pit stop on my journey. I'm not dying here. Where I'm going is more important than Melita. They watched him. He should be dead by now. He should have puffed up and fell out by now. But he's still alive. He's still breathing. He's still talking. And they changed their mind. And you know what Paul did? He had a revival right there on Melita. Hallelujah. I said he had a revival right there on Melita. You cannot judge your future by where you are right now. I feel this on my heart. Melita's not your soulmate. You cannot die here because God's got somewhere else for you to go. You've got to get up. Come on now. You've got to get up. Amen. You got to tell the leader. Amen. You got to let me go. You got to shake my leader off. I'm not dying here. I've got somewhere to go. Amen. You got to get up, shake that devil off. I want you to understand something. I'm gonna quit. Amen. I'm gonna quit right here. I got, but Paul stayed on Melita for 3 months. He stayed on that island for 3 months. They had a great revival there. I got, but 3 months later, there's a ship comes into the port by the name of Alexandria. Alexandra is the female version of the name Alexander. Alexander's name means help. 3 months, he stayed in that limbo. 3 months, he knew where he was going. He knew he wasn't where he used to be. And he knew God was taking him somewhere. 3 months went by, but help showed up in the harbor. And one day help arrived. And he was able to get on that ship of help and go on to where God was taking him. You want to know what I felt like in my heart this afternoon? I felt like telling somebody, help is here. Help is here. Hallelujah. You don't have to die where you are. Help is here. The Holy Ghost is here. Power of God is here. Healing's here. What you need is here tonight. I got to listen. You got to tell that devil where I'm going. More important than where I'm at. I want to be so blinded by where I'm going that I don't even recognize the trouble that I'm in right now. I wish you'd stand with me all over this house. I'm telling you tonight, I believe that help is here. I believe that wherever you're going, whatever you're facing, that God will help you tonight. If you will let God help you, if you will let God touch you, He'll touch you in this service. I wonder how many here tonight ready to shake Melita off and say, Melita's not my soulmate. I got where I'm going. Does anybody know where they're going? I wish some folks that knew where they was going would come out of those pews, come down to this church, the front of this church, and say, where I'm going is more important than where I'm at. Where I'm going is more important.
He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. And you can touch Him. You will never be the same. He is here, just listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here, and you can touch Him. You will never be the same. He is here, hallelujah. He is here. I will bless. is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. Well, the hand of fear gripped the crowd that day in Jairus' home when the doctor sadly told him, your daughter's gone. You could hear the parents' heartbreak. You could hear them cry and moan. That little girl was only 12 years old. But somewhere in the distance, outlined against the sun, came a man on a mission straight from the throne. Said somebody's coming, but what they didn't know, there was a promise coming down that dusty road. Oh, there's a promise coming down your dusty road. From His holy hand, healing virtue flows. He holds the key to what you need. Death and hell He will defeat. There's a promise coming down your dusty road. Do you feel you're in a desert and things looking awful bleak? You ain't felt no rain for a while. You feel weak. Now you don't have to suffer defeat. Say, devil, I won't be beat. There's a promise coming down that road for me. There's a promise coming down your dusty road. From His holy hands, healing virtue flows. He holds the key to what you need. Death and hell He will defeat. There is a promise coming down your dusty road. Yeah, there's a promise coming down your dusty road.